AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Ford has temporarily laid off 600 non-striking workers at its plant in Michigan, and GM could do the same in Kansas City next week as thousands hit the picket lines in three states. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders showed his support for strikers today in Detroit.
Despite all of that wealth, brothers and sisters, and you know this well, 60% of our people are living paycheck to paycheck.
Sean Malone's with KMOX in St. Louis.
Auto workers at the General Motors Assembly Center in Wentzville, Missouri are in their first day of striking, but how long do they anticipate the strike will last?
No idea. The last one we did in 2019 went 6 weeks, so we'll prepare for that and hope it's shorter.
Workers are fighting for better pay and benefits. Out west, thousands of healthcare workers could be next to hit the picket lines. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
Nearly 64,000 Kaiser Permanente healthcare workers in California, Oregon, and Washington State have authorized a strike if they don't have a new contract by September 30th. Nurses, support staff, and other employees are demanding better pay and more staffing. The union wants a four-year contract with increases of 7% the first 2 years and 6.25% in the third and fourth.
New England is bracing for Hurricane Lee. Don Brantley's with Emergency Management in Massachusetts.
Have your emergency kit ready and easily accessible should you need any supplies like food, water, flashlight, radio. And if you have consumable medical supplies or durable equipment battery needs, please include those in your emergency kit.
Floods and power outages are also expected in Maine and Rhode Island. The Pentagon's ordered interviews with more service members attacked by suicide bombers during the U.S.'s withdrawal from Afghanistan. Here's CBS's David Martin.
The order to interview more witnesses comes as a result of congressional testimony claiming the Marines had a chance to stop the suicide bomber before he set off the blast, which killed 13 Americans and 170 Afghans.
At the White House, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked whether President Biden would pardon his son Hunter.
Would the president pardon or commute his son if he's convicted?
So I've answered this question before. It was asked of me not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and I was very clear and I said no.
Hunter was indicted yesterday over an illegal gun purchase. Vice President Kamala Harris kicked off a cross-country college tour today at Hampton University in Virginia. President Biden won the youth vote back in 2020, but support has been lagging heading into 2024. Former President Trump was at Iowa State University last weekend. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means... Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match, only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
Meet Bruce.
Hey there.
He's a busy soccer dad who's trying hard to learn the game.
Go for the end zone!
Whoops. Luckily, other things come easy, like banking with Chase. On a tip from his banker, he set up AutoSave in the Chase mobile app. So what are you saving for, Bruce?
Father-daughter soccer camp.
Smart bankers, convenient tools, one bank with the power of both. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
AutoSave requires a Chase checking and savings account. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on WisCountry 105.5.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Ruby's Pantry is tomorrow in Wisconsin Rapids from 8 to 9:30 a.m. The cost is $25 per share. If you're paying cash, come early and get in line at Pitch Elementary School, 501 17th Street South. There's no income or residency requirement. The Dojinki Downtown Polish Harvest Festival is tomorrow, September 16th, in Stevens Point. This is their 20th annual Harvest Fest from 10 to 4. You'll find Polish food and beverages, music and dancing, Polish histories and displays, as well as activities for the little ones. The fun continues on Sunday at the Moose Family Center on 1025 North 2nd Street from 11:30 to 6. It's $12 per person, but children in traditional Polish attire are free. There's Polish food from 11:30 until it's gone. You can eat in or carry out. Polka bands will play from noon to 6. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a slight chance for isolated showers. Lows level off around 53. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 73. Cloudy skies. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm not Maggie Dawn, I'm Mike Crute, and I got a fine guest right from the top because I can only aspire to be smart and legalistic like Maggie Dawn. So I got to bring on a smart guest, a lawyer by trade, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson, and he's also the host of his own fine program. You're going to want to stick around. Mark's Paul Revere Show happens right here on the Civic Media Network starting at 7. Mark Thompson, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, man. Suffer through with Crudy. How you doing, Mark?
Good evening, Mr. Crute. It's great to see you. It's always a privilege and honor to join you on any show that you have on Civic Media.
Well, Mark, it's troubling times, and these continue to be troubling times here in the state of Wisconsin. Let's jump right into it, sir. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf is kind of in a professional fight for her life. And the Senate, through their Elections Committee, has apparently taken up her nomination, even though it was not offered by the elections commissioners. So, Mark, let's start. Let's set the stage. She shouldn't really be before the Senate at this point, yet they've taken her up. Why not? What is the legal theory behind the abstaining from voting on the Democratic members' part?
If I may, can I go back to 2016 and just put this Absolutely. In some historical perspective? In 2016, the Wisconsin Elections Commission was created. I want folks to remember that the Republicans voted to abolish the governmental accounting board that was essentially retired judges, nonpartisan, that were running elections and ethics in the state. And when they started asking questions about money and where the Republicans were getting their money, what they were doing with their money, the Republicans abolished that entity and created a bipartisan elections commission made up of three Democrats and three Republicans, a little more complicated. At the time when we were originally created, we voted 6-0 to nominate Michael Haas, who was well-respected around the country and in the state as a person committed to public service and nonpartisan issues, and an expert on elections to be our first administrator.
And he had had a prior role, Mark, if I recall. Mike Haas had been with the Government Accountability Board, so his crime was what? His prior employer.
He was... They put him, the far right Republicans put him on a hit list because he was the assistant to Mr. Kennedy at the time. The key question, though, was there were six officials that voted, three Republicans, three Democrats. We all thought Michael Haas was the most qualified person to do it. It went to the Senate, and the Senate didn't confirm him. It came back to us, and we voted 4-2. Bev Gill was a Republican that was so angry that her party was willing to attack Michael Haass personally and ruin his career personally because of a political agenda. She would have nothing to do with it. And her guts allowed us at that time then to sit down and cut a deal with the Senate. And Jody Jensen was on the commission at that time, and we reached an agreement with the Senate that if we nominated Megan Wolf, they would confirm Megan Wolf. And Megan Wolf was confirmed as the administrator. And she has done an exceptional job. She is recognized around the country as one of the leading, smartest, brightest election officials. They look to her all over the country. All the commissioners currently, except Mr. Spindell, but I think the consensus is that there are at least five of us that believe Megan Wolf is the most qualified person to serve as the administrator. So this gets us up to date to your question. The Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled in a case called Prane that a holdover appointee can stay in their office unless there's a vacancy, and that no one can nominate a new person. You'll recall Governor Evers tried to appoint his own appointee, and the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do it, you can't appoint them, because there's no vacancy. Well, under that decision, and the Attorney General, Josh Call, issued a specific legal opinion saying unless there is a vacancy, the Wisconsin Election Commission cannot nominate a new administrator. We could certainly remove the administrator, Megan Wolf, and no one wanted to remove her. She didn't resign. There was no vacancy, so there was no ability to nominate. Now, at the Elections Commission meeting, there was a motion made by one of the Republican commissioners to nominate Megan Wolf. I believe that those votes, at least two of them, to nominate Megan Wolf was based on the assumption that she would be sent to the Senate and the Senate would listen to them and confirm her. My vote, I didn't vote on that. I said there was not a legal, there was not a vacancy, so there was not a legal motion on the table. We did not have the legal ability to nominate anyone because Megan Wolf serves as the administrator, and she's there until she resigns or we fire. But no one on the commission wants to fire her, so she is the administrator.
My fine guest is Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson. He's an attorney by trade. He hosts the Paul Revere Show, and I'm sure he'll talk more on this topic and others. Who do you have tonight? Greta Neubauer, the Assembly Minority Leader. Who's your other guest, Mark?
Tonight we have Deborah Kronmiller, who is the head of the League of Women Voters and the current chairperson of Wisconsin Fair Maps. And we are going to be spending the hour getting their viewpoints on what the issues are facing the state of Wisconsin.
Well, Mark, sorry to interrupt. So back to today's action in the State Senate Election Committee, there was a 3-1 vote to effectively take up this non-nomination and move it to the full Senate. And three Republicans voted effectively against the nomination, but they are ignoring legal counsel, the legislative legal counsel. They're ignoring the Attorney General's legal opinion. And they're moving forward anyways. And Thursday, Mark, the full Senate meets here. And as soon as Thursday, this Senate, regardless of legal standing, could take up this matter and effectively get rid of Megan Wolf, or that is at least what we could see a vote on. And then what happens, Mark? Because we're at a constitutional crisis, because it doesn't seem as if the commissioner, Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator, plans on vacating her position anytime soon.
Well, I don't know whether we would be at a constitutional crisis on this issue. I think Josh called, the attorney general has been very clear that there has not been a legal nomination of a new administrator from the Wisconsin Elections Commission because the statutes specifically require 4 votes from the commission to send a nomination to the Senate. And there were not 4 votes to send the nomination to the Senate. There is no legal nomination. So the to the extent the Shared Revenue and Elections and Consumer Protection Committee chaired by Dan Knotel, whatever they did today, I think is legally, courts will construe it as a nullity. Whether or not the Senate Majority Leader, Devin LeMahieu, actually puts it on the Senate floor, I don't know. But I don't think there's anything on the floor. And I think there it's a exercise in futility. And frankly, you know, I don't know what they're doing, because if they would go talk to the commissioners, they'll tell them that Megan Wolf is the most competent, nonpartisan person to be running elections. And we have major elections coming up in 2024, and this is not the time to change the person running those elections. If you ask the clerks, municipal clerks around the state, they fully support, or, you know, by vast majority fully support Megan Wolf. You know, I look at...
Maybe that's the problem, Mark. No. Maybe they don't want competent administrators in place for next year's election. Have you considered that, sir?
You know, I'd like to believe that, you know, 90% of my fellow citizens and 90% of their elected representatives believe in elections and that we should have competent people running them. I am aware that there are a handful of people that, you know, are operating under this lie that is promoted by former president and now indicted Trump, that he lost or that Biden lost and he won the election. Now, Dean Knutson, the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, a conservative Republican, said out loud at a commission meeting, Donald Trump lost. Donald Trump lost. Fact. Game over. Now, those crazies fired him, but that's where we're at in Wisconsin. We got some crazies that are trying to tell the 90% what to do.
Mark Thompson. Our friend, he is a Wisconsin elections commissioner. He is an attorney by trade, and he is the host of the Paul Revere Show. And it follows this fine program, the Maggie Dawn Show. Thank you, Mark, for joining me here today.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes, located at 520 State Street in Madison. Order online today at knuckleheads.shop. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline.
Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. Lows dip down to about 59 tonight under overcast skies with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. High temperatures reach up to 74. Slight chance for scattered storms again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 55. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hyde. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Mike Crute. I'll be filling in for Maggie this week. I'll try to continue to bring you fine guests like Maggie would. Guests like Mark Thompson. He is a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner. He is a host here on the Civic Media Network. He plays out next. And you're going to want to stick around. It's not just the issue of the Megan Wolf and how we're dealing. And when I say we, I mean these Republicans. Senate Elections Committee took up Megan Wolf, despite the fact there's no legal cause for them to do so. And by a 3-1 vote, they're effectively moving it to the full Senate. That could be a vote on Thursday. We've seen a lawsuit filed by Tim Burns. Tim Burns is a former Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate. We didn't even get there with Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson will talk, I suspect, with Greta Neubauer and his other fine panel of guests tonight about the threatened impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz as well. That might be the constitutional crisis. Now, he didn't believe this issue with Megan Wolf is a constitutional crisis. If I understood Commissioner Mark Thompson correctly, he effectively thought that Knodel's action, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, or pardon me, the Senate Election Committee's action today effectively really has zero value. Doesn't have any legal weight. So we'll see. And we'll see if the Senate takes up Megan Wolf, the, again, Wisconsin Election Commission administrator. But I would speculate Republicans don't want competent people in charge. Makes it hard to, let's just say, challenge and overturn elections here in the state of Wisconsin. And our pal, Maggie Dawn, she was on that wall. During the Milwaukee recount, she was on the other side of Jim Troupas. And if you don't know that name, look in some of the indictment stuff, some of the J6 stuff. Jim Troupas was Trump's vessel, one of, here in the state of Wisconsin, to overturn the election. And when we talk about removing the election commissioner administrator, who doesn't even really set the rules of the road, she just takes someone else's lead, you know, these 6 bipartisan elections commissioners, and one of which is not even very bipartisan, and Bob Spindell, he's kind of on the fake electors list himself, yet continues to serve on Wisconsin's election panel. That's a whole different problem. But there's an opinion piece over at the Journal Sentinel, and I'd like to share it with you. Also like to hear your opinions here on the Maggie Dawn Show tonight. I believe all the phone numbers are all the same, so I know it. 844-967-2789. You know the number as well. 844 877-967-2789. But the headline here, can the Wisconsin Supreme Court overcome its fractured relations, question mark? No, probably not. Observers fear a point of no return. Jesse Apoyan from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It was April 2017 when the Wisconsin Supreme Court, after a heated debate, rejected an effort to establish a rule requiring justices to step aside from cases involving their biggest financial backers. I think then-Justice Shirley Abrahamson joked as the court wrapped up its debate with a 5-2 vote, "We may need a therapy session, but that's not for me to say." 6 years later, the conservative justices who outnumbered Abrahamson and Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, that's the good Bradley, on the recusal vote have lost what was once an iron grip on the court's ideological majority. And Republican lawmakers are threatening the court's newest liberal justice with impeachment if she doesn't recuse from a case that could benefit her biggest campaign contributor. That's a stretch. The Democratic Party, but anyways, I read on. This time, one former justice worries a therapy session might not be enough to repair the fractures within the court that have only deepened since Justice Janet Protasiewicz was sworn in last month. That's not our fault. Here is a quote. "So many harsh, terrible things have been said. It's going to be very hard, I think, for them to sit at a table and be able to find common ground and to be able to compromise on whatever they need to compromise on," said former Justice Jeanine Jeske. "There are a lot of layers to this. Somebody's going to have to work through. And I think it's going to be hard for them to be able to do it. I don't know what can be done." Now, Senator Van Wongard from Racine, Republican, recently likened the dynamic of the court to a food fight. Marquette University Law School professor Chad Oldfather called it a mess. Here's another quote. "My guess is that the conflict just furthers the sense that's been growing for a while, that there's just political actors, that there's no difference between what they do and what members of the legislature do. And that's a problem because they're not supposed to do the same job." You know, a little separation of the powers, if you will. Now, they had already made the decision that campaign contributions are not enough to force recusal. I keep hearkening back to Prosser. The 2017 vote was far from the first time the court sparred over recusal standards, but it was significant. The court's conservative majority, I guess that was after Prosser, then Chief Justice Patience Rogensack, Justice Rebecca Bradley, that's the bad one, current Justice Annette Sigler, and former Justices Michael Gableman and Dan Kelly, voted to keep in place rules adopted in 2010 that says a judge shall not be required to recuse based solely on an endorsement or campaign contribution. The conservative justices rejected a proposal to establish a campaign contribution threshold that would force a judge or justice off a case involving the donor, arguing it would impede free speech. "The question is whether we should tell judges in the state that we don't trust them to determine when they should recuse from a case," said Kelly, whom Protasiewicz defeated by 11 points. If you're doing the math, can't spell Kelly without two L's. "I think that's caustic and inappropriate, an unnecessary thing for us to do." Rebecca Bradley said every judge and justice in Wisconsin should be highly offended by this.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation
and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. If you were planning on checking out the colors on Granite Peak this weekend, you'll have to wait. Here's Stuart J. Waddles with the details.
Granite Peak's fall scenic rides were scheduled to start this weekend. However, the rides have been canceled due to a lift upgrade that's taking longer than anticipated. They'll be completing the upgrade and testing throughout the weekend. They plan to start their fall scenic chairlift rides on September 22nd and continue through October 15th. Friday Twilight rides are from 4 to 7. Saturdays and Sundays, they're riding from 11 to 5. You'll have a unique vantage point to take in the changing colors of the Wisconsin River Valley, Lake Wausau, and Wisconsin's second highest peak, Rib Mountain. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Don't forget to get your vote in for the new dog park. You only have until September 19th at 8 a.m. Visit wirapids.org to vote. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Wisconsin Public Schools open doors of possibility to all students, no exceptions. I'm Peggy Wirtz-Olson, a Wisconsin teacher and president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Public school educators and families work together to reach, teach, and inspire Wisconsin's next generation of leaders. As we head back to school, we hope you'll join us. We act, we teach, we inspire. Find out more at weac.org.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue. Possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a slight chance for isolated showers. Lows level off around 53. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 73. Cloudy skies. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
Hey, stop the wild threats of impeachment. Let Justice Janet Protasiewicz do her job. Yeah, I concur. Rep. Travis Tranel's constituents in Grant County helped elect Janet Protasiewicz to the Wisconsin Supreme Court last spring with 51% of the county's vote. Rep. John Plummer's Assembly District runs through Columbia County, which favored Protasiewicz with 55% of its ballots. Rep. Todd Novak represents most of Lafayette and Iowa counties, which backed Protasiewicz with 59% of their vote. Are these three Republican lawmakers and their conservative colleagues who control the state assembly really going to push into impeachment proceedings against Janet Protasiewicz, seeking to overturn the will of the voters? Question mark. The editorial board at the Wisconsin State Journal says, we sure hope not. If they do, they'll face the wrath of these very same voters for blatantly reversing the voice of the people. Yeah, that's who we, the people, voted for by an 11% preference. Protasiewicz over Kelly. You knew he was terrible. You knew he was a bad candidate. That's why you tried to run Doro out there. But anyways, let me read on. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, recently threatened to impeach Justice Protasiewicz, an experienced Milwaukee County judge and prosecutor, because she had even heard a single high court case. Voss's intimidating talk of taking her down is wildly irresponsible, undemocratic, and comes off as desperate. Kind of. A little bit desperate, Robin. Got to mention. A little bit desperate. Elections have consequences, and Protasiewicz just won hers by more than 10 percentage points statewide over former Justice Dan Kelly, whom Voss and other fixtures of the Republican establishment, well, they supported. So did Trump, right? Voss is threatening impeachment if Protasiewicz doesn't recuse herself from a case involving Voss's gerrymandered maps for assembly and Senate voting districts. Voss knows those maps help him keep his GOP majority and stay in power. Well, we know that Voss knows it's not because of the, what's he always say, better candidates and better ideas and rigged maps. That's the big unspoken part. It's the rigged maps, Robin. You know it, and I know it. And so do all the people now. And while the two major parties collected similar numbers of votes statewide in the fall 2022 election, the Republican-controlled legislature nonetheless maintained huge majorities, 64-35 in the Assembly and 21-11 in the Senate. Gerrymandering is the main reason why. Following the 2020 census, Voss and company spent millions of dollars on a team of lawyers, political strategists, sophisticated computer software to draw the lines of legislative districts to his partisan advantage, and then to defend them in court. Yeah, with our taxpayer money. And outside attorneys, of course. Now he's lawyering up again at taxpayer expense to fight still more legal challenges. Now, the Supreme Court's 4-3 conservative majority had pretty much allowed Republicans to reshape districts however they pleased. But Protasiewicz's victory in the April 4th election shifts control of the court, the liberal-leading justices. So Voss, the longest-serving speaker in state history, not because he's good, but because he's gerrymandered, I would point out, is running scared. Liberal groups have already filed two lawsuits challenging Voss's maps, and Protasiewicz could be the deciding vote striking them down. I hope so. We'll see. Now, Voss claims Protasiewicz must recuse herself from any cases involving his maps because she called them unfair and rigged during her recent campaign. We agree. Protasiewicz discussed political issues more than she should have. They agree. I less so. Judicial candidates should strive to be independent arbiters of the law and not to give the impression they are prejudging cases that might come before them. But the gerrymandered legislative maps are indeed unfair and rigged. Protasiewicz shouldn't be impeached for speaking the truth. Truth hurts sometimes, right, Robin? Not if you can impeach a Supreme Court justice and keep it buried. Moreover, she didn't weigh into specifics. In fact, she said less about redistricting cases than any other member of the court. That's because all of the incumbents have had to rule on cases challenging the maps in the past. Nothing is wrong with that. Their jobs as high court justices required it. If Voss is seriously concerned about politics affecting our courts, he should stop threatening judges and instead support clear rules. We're just talking about that, right? Recusal rules, I think they're called, for when justices should leave a case because of a conflict, either real or perceived. Currently, individual justices decide for themselves. Remember? Remember? Robin Voss, who wrote those rules? Your buddies at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and of course, the conservative, often conservative, leading Wisconsin Realtors Association. Big bucks they've thrown. And they got to write their own recusal rules as big donors before the courts. They got to write the recusal rules for the courts. Do you know how disingenuous this stance seems, Robin Voss? I'm just saying. Anyways, if Voss is seriously concerned about politics affecting our courts, he should stop threatening judges and instead support clear rules for when justices should leave a case because of a conflict, either real or perceived. Now, currently, as mentioned, I know I'm being redundant here. I want to stick in. Currently, individual justices decide for themselves if they can be fair, an incredibly loose standard. Is there any looser standard? I get to judge whether I can be fair somewhere in my brain. If I feel like I'm being fair, I must be fair. Doesn't matter if they gave me millions of dollars. Literally, we're talking about David Prosser, Michael Cableman. These justices were supported by millions of dollars. Now when it's pro to say what's, of course, they're going to scream bloody murder when the Democratic Party is the litigant before the Supreme Court. Because she's already, she being Protasiewicz, has already shown a willingness to, let's say, do the right thing. When there might be a perceived conflict of interest, if the Democratic Party is a litigant before the court, Protasiewicz said she will recuse. You know what? Under the recusal rules of this Wisconsin Supreme Court, written by Robin Voss's buddies, Wisconsin Manufacturer and Commerce, and the Wisconsin Realtors Association, my question would be, why recuse under any circumstance ever? You know, you're fair in your own brain. You don't need some outside schmoes telling you when or when not to recuse. Just ask Prosser. What was his standard? Do you recall? Prosser was the beneficiary of millions of dollars in campaign spending from outside groups that then became litigants before the court. And what was the Prosser standard? Nah, it'd been more than a year. 365 days, that's the Prosser standard. So, Voss points to Protasiewicz getting millions in campaign donations from the Democratic Party, which is true, but conservative members of the court have benefited from millions in support from the Republican Party and its backers. The only way to fix the influence of money on judicial campaigns is to limit contributions or appoint judges based on merit. Voss has opposed both solutions in the past. Know what I mean? This is not a good idea as far as he's concerned. Now, Republicans aren't the only ones who gerrymander. Democrats have rigged voting maps in states such as Illinois and Maryland, where they hold power. And it doesn't matter which party does it. It's wrong, and it should stop, according to the editorial board here at the Wisconsin State Journal. Now, they say that's why the Wisconsin State Journal editorial board has long favored the Iowa model for nonpartisan redistricting. Now, you realize that is a conservative state with a Republican governor. Kim Reynolds is no bleeding heart liberal, but the state of Iowa has a fair redistricting process. So even though Republicans might be the top of the ticket, the Democratic Party is not hopelessly gerrymandered into super minority status, you know, like 21 to 11, or what was it, 65 to 34, in a state where more people voted for the Democratic Party on the legislative ticket last time. In Iowa, state agency insulated from politics draws the lines to account for population changes. It does so with instructions to keep districts as compact as possible while ignoring past voting results and the impact on incumbents. Do you hear that, Robin Voss? It's almost like that's not supposed to matter. The result in Iowa has been fair, neat-looking maps that follow the lines of municipal boundaries rather than carving up communities into odd shapes for political advantage. Iowa voters enjoy more competition for legislative seats, and avoid wasting millions of tax dollars on court fights. Again, Robin Voss doesn't give a damn because it's not his money. It's not even coming out of the Republican caucus slush fund. It comes out of we, the people, the Wisconsin voters, we, the taxpayers. We're the ones that pay for the legal counsel for all the malfeasant lawsuits, non-meritorious lawsuits of this Republican Party. But, you know, it's not really about fiscal prudence so much as malfeasance. More from this editorial. The answer to gerrymandered maps in Wisconsin isn't impeachment. As Tranel, Plumber, and Novak should know, it's a fair system like Iowa's, which all three have voiced support for in the past. So have 63% of respondents, including 62% of Republicans in a Marquette Law School poll. Did you hear all that? 63% of people and 62% of Republicans. They also want fair representation on the legislative level. So, like, when they vote for a guy or a girl, they want fair representation. Some people call that one person, one vote. Well, when your legislative leaders are predetermined by pre-cooked gerrymandered maps, that's not representative democracy. The little d democracy, not like Democratic Party democracy, just in case CJ's still listening. A little bit more from this. They, as mentioned, support the Iowa model. The result in Iowa, well, we talked about the fact that it had been fair. Now, Tranel, Plumber, and Novak, again, those are Republicans in the assembly here in the great state of Wisconsin, and others should tell the boss, you know, Boss Voss, to drop the impeachment talk and support a real solution that Wisconsin voters overwhelmingly support. Now, that is from the Wisconsin State Journal editorial board. And they, like I, think this talk of impeachment of a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice is irresponsible. It's ridiculous. The difference between I and the thoughtful people at the Wisconsin State Journal editorial board is I think they'll go through with it. I don't think they learn lessons easy. I think they are looking for this fight. And I think we the people, better be prepared for it. Come back with us. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm trying to fill her shoes. I probably have bigger feet, but, you know, she's smarter and all that kind of stuff. So bear with me. A few more days. More Devil's Maggie Dawn and Anastasia. If they call them, answer 844-96-PARTY.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
For competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season, and of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it, because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Always an auga of a good time when you stop in at Auga Brewing Company in Beaver Dam. Don't miss Auga's Augtoberfest celebration on Saturday, September 16th. Special Augtoberfest Marzen will be tapped at noon. Then it's polka time with the Zweifel Brothers at 1 and the Gary Beal Band at 6:30. Plus a brat fry to benefit Beaver Dam hockey. It's Augtoberfest Saturday, September 16th at Auga Brewing, 301 South Spring Street, downtown Beaver Dam.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows level off around 59. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs around 74. Slight chance for scattered storms again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 55. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Don Show. You play this, you're really going to confuse me. Anastasia, lightly screening your calls. We can still take calls here at 844-967-2789. Let's start here. I believe it's Charles from Madison. Charles, you're next. Welcome to the Maggie Don Show. Say hi to Crudy or Anastasia or whoever you want to. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Anastasia. Hello, guys. I'm from Green Bay, the home of the Packers, babe. But the thing is, my question is this. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. If we've got all these lawsuits out to stop this, you know, impeachment, why waste time going locally, go to the federal district court, jump the line? Because the fact of the matter is, if it goes to the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, you know, how is Janet Protasiewicz going to be able to vote on that? She can't, because it pertains to her. But the thing is, if we go above that, let's take it to the, you know, the federal court in Milwaukee. Next, the other thing is this: what's good for the goose isn't good for the gander. You're telling me that the Republicans can take all this money, but the Democrats can't. Somehow, you know, that's a little hypocrisy. I don't understand why Robin Voss is being such a. I do understand why he's being such a piece of work, is because he's playing into the hand of his boss, who has been how many times? 91 indictments, and he's afraid that if you know, doesn't get in there, he won't get a job in that cabinet. I'll leave you with that thought. Go with it.
Charles, I loved everything you had to say, except the thought that Robin Voss is looking for a job in the Trump cabinet. Now, I definitely think Robin Voss is fearful of Donald Trump. How do we know that? Because when Trump called him, he got on the private jet down to Alabama. He set up a special prosecutor here in the state of Wisconsin in Michael Gableman, right? A year and a half later, he's calling the guy an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin. But still claiming there's been malfeasance undertaken. Here's what I would say. I think that Robin Voss is too cute by half. I think he's smart enough to know better. He knew that Donald Trump didn't have the election stolen from him. But he's also afraid of the Trump base. I mean, this is a violent base. These are not nice human beings. They charged Robin Voss on the mound already. They've already gone to Voss's office in the Wisconsin State Capitol. And that was Janelle Branch, and that was his own Assembly Elections Committee chairperson marching the hooligans into his office against him. That's Robin Voss. He doesn't even have the support of his own crazy Trump-loving, let's overturn the election, decertify the vote, Janelle Branch. So, I know that's a lot of words. Charles, your thoughts? No, Charles? Did we lose Charles? Let's keep moving down the list. 844-967. Thank you for listening, Charles. Hopefully you're still listening. 844-967-2789. Our pal from the leftist coast, L.A. Tom. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Crudy. I'm good, man. Clearly you're good. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. And I hope everybody hearing that really realizes that we are the government. And we have the power to do what we need to in elections. And here's the part, and I think the article says it very perfectly. You'd have to decide, do you want to have people that are running for Supreme Court actually running like an election, or do you want them to be appointed? Because if you're saying that you want them to be elected, then sorry, they have to run for office. When you run for office, you got to tell what you're for, what you're against. And I would say that's on either side for anybody that's running. Otherwise, let the governor appoint the person that is supposed to be in the Supreme Court justice.
Well, I don't disagree with you, Tom. I do believe in judicial appointments. I don't know that we could start over at this late hour with that dynamic. But what I think always used to happen is these conservatives, judicial conservatives, could go on right-wing talk radio. And they were spring elections, and it wouldn't take a lot of effort to gin up the conservative vote. And they would say, Dan Kelly's the right one, or Hagedorn, or whatever the case may be. It was always very clear who was the chosen candidate of the conservative brain trust. And, you know, I think these supposed liberals here in the state of Wisconsin, they never led clearly with what they believed in. And then I think it was actually Justice Dalit that broke that mold. I thought Justice Dalit was very clear in her opinions. I think that Kurowski followed her example. And I think that obviously Janet Protasiewicz followed their two examples. And Dalit is the one that introduced Protasiewicz at the Democratic Party convention. If anyone was advising her behind the scenes, here's how you do it. I bet it was Rebecca Dalit. Any thoughts, Tom?
Yeah, if I was Protasiewicz, I would not be recusing myself from anything.
Nope. But
if she does, she's actually doing a disservice to the people that voted for her and won by, 30%, or whatever it was.
She won by 11%.
Falling through. 11%. She's doing a disservice to those people, women that fought for a woman's right to choose, people that have fought for the districting to have more fair maps in the state of Wisconsin. I'm sorry, it doesn't mean that court case is exactly that, but all she's saying is that there needs to be fair maps. I don't think that's a problem and that the maps haven't been fair. I think anybody can look at that objectively and say, yeah, these maps haven't been fair.
Well, let me ask you this. $10 million from the Democratic Party, and they are not litigants in the gerrymandering case. But setting that aside for a minute, Justice Janet Protasiewicz, should she recuse in cases that the Democratic Party is a litigant because of the overwhelming generosity of the party in support of her candidacy? It's like $10 million.
You know what? We have elections and we have money in politics. Maybe she wants to fight to get money out of politics. That would be a really, really nice thing if they could actually.
But Tom, she's got to set that example then, does she not?
Well, no, because as long as it's there, as long as the rules are the way the rules are, you have to play the game. You can say, you know, as an example, I could run for office and say, hey, I'm against money in politics, take a bunch of money and from different donors, but then when I get in office, actually act as if I am trying to get money out of politics. But you're never going to get elected if you don't take the money.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you listening to the Maggie Dawn Show tonight. Never bring a knife to a gunfight, right? They put one of yours in the hospital, you put one of theirs in the morgue. That's, well, I'd say the Chicago way, but they have a habit of losing. They're not really so tough anymore. Maggie Dawn, I'll be filling in for her this week. She's busy lawyering or something important, but you're going to want to stick around. Mark Thompson, the Paul Revere Show, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson, stick around for him.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption. is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.